Well, this is the third episode of the Multi-Asian Church podcast series, and my name is DJ Chuang. I'm joined with my co-host, Ed Choi, and we've been talking about churches that are effectively ministering to the next generation, and that seems to be in a multi-Asian, multi-ethnic kind of a setting. So, episode three, Ed's going to put the topic on the table, and we'll dive in.
Great. Thanks, DJ. Last week, I want to go back to the idea of vision, and we kind of hit on it in the last few minutes, so if anyone's listening that is interested, probably the last 5 minutes in particular from last week, but the question is, what is it about the Asian American community that makes a vision for multi-ethnic ministry harder to stick and communicate? And I guess what we might dive into tonight isn't the negative side of what is it that makes it harder to stick, but what are you seeing, DJ, in multi-ethnic leaders, Asian American leaders that are ministering in a multi-ethnic sense, or just Asian American leaders that are able to make vision stick? How you know, is there something about their communication of that vision that you see might be more effective than those that are not?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to communicating vision, I had the question beforehand and I gave it some thought, and I was thinking through the list of churches that I've worked with, which I've compiled over the past 3 years or so, of Asian American church plants that are under 10 years old, and I'm thinking of the ones that have made further progress towards diversifying, being multi-ethnic, and I guess I had a hard time picking out what was distinctively Asian America about how they communicated vision. It was just that the ones that seemed to be more effective just had stronger communicators who were able to describe vision in a compelling way. And so the analogy that came to my mind was Tim Keller, who's in a New York City context where about half of his congregation is Asian American, and then half mostly white and some others. And one of the most valuable messages that he's ever given, I think, amongst many others, is one on persuasion. He gave it at the Dwell Conference in 2008, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But just the whole concept of describing a vision or describing an idea in a persuasive, winsome manner, not in a debate kind of a setting, which some of us have had exposure to, and many non-Christians seem to think Christians can be rather divisive, and there's some caricatures of that. Going through seminary and just hearing messages, I don't hear much about the development of persuasion. And so I would point to Tim Keller's message on just how do you communicate persuasively and compellingly and make a vision stick. And so I don't think there's anything Asian American specific on the communicating of vision, but we touched on a little bit of the challenges last week. So in the positive sense, it's just communicating persuasively and finding those who want to jump on board. The other talk that we just listened to today in a meeting I was a part of was a talk by Seth Godin on the tribes we lead. So he was making a case for how people want to be missed and people want to make a difference. And so what people are looking for is not so much a leader with charisma. He made a pretty good case for the person who is leading has charisma because he is leading. And so it's just the very act of leading affords you persuasion with others. And the idea is not to persuade everybody. The idea is to lead those who want to go where you are. Where they already want to go. And so when you communicate vision, you'll find those who resonate with it, those who connect with it, and then you lead that tribe towards making an impact. And so I'll link to that as well in the show notes.
Well, let me follow up with that, DJ, because you're mm-hmm. hitting this exactly where I want to go.
Great.
So going to the reverse, going to the challenges within the Asian American community in communicating vision, the fact that, you know, Keller's talking about persuasion. You just made the mm-hmm. point that it's basically success seems to be linked to just those that are communicating well.
Yes.
Their vision.
Yes.
You talked last week about the performance-oriented culture that defines
right.
success, all the challenges to that. I mean, do you think that there's just a lack of, or what is it? Let me ask you this. What do you see as some of the challenges? It seems that, I'm not clear.
No. It's a challenging issue to get our hands around. So it's going to take some grappling with.
Well, it seems like there is a vacuum of leaders who are able to communicate vision, let me throw this out.
Okay, go ahead.
Seems like a lot of the Asian American pastors that I know in Asian American churches
okay.
or in ethnic churches, Korean
mm-hmm.
or Chinese churches, seems like a lot of them are more of the pastoral, shepherding,
mm-hmm.
Priestly leadership type of guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe more melancholy in their, you know, I don't know if that's a good word or not, but, and then a lot of the guys that would be sharp, a lot of the sharp communicating Asian American guys that I know,
mm-hmm.
Go to other types of churches, you know, that, mm. you know, go to more mega church, positions or that type of thing.
Mm.
And maybe, you know, maybe with the multi-ethnic church movement, there'll be a place where higher capacity, I don't know, I'm trying to stay away from better communicators, but Asian American leaders who are good, you know, upfront leading communicators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what I'm trying to learn is how to cultivate that,
mm.
how to rally
mm-hmm.
those Asian American leaders who can communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
How can the multi-ethnic church movement
That's okay. I got a couple thoughts that came to mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most of us are average communicators. We're not going to hit the conference circuit. And those are kind of the rock stars and the A-list communicators. And they're not the only ones leading churches that are effective. So let's say we're just average communicators. At least we can communicate with some clarity. And we teach the Bible, which is very, very important. There are some average communicators that have made compelling vision stick. So let me cite two examples. And when I heard them, I was like, wow, they're just average communicators, and yet they have thriving churches with clear vision. So I was like, oh, so it's not just because of the communicator. And actually, a third example. So I'll give the number, that way I hit all three examples. Otherwise, I'll just go in different directions. So there was a very effective communicator who happens to be Latino in the New York City area. Tried to plant a church. He was one of my colleagues from Dallas Seminary. And as strong as a communicator as he wasn't able to build the team and the community for whatever reason. And so it wasn't just because he was a good communicator that things worked, because things didn't work. So there's more involved than just being a strong communicator or a vision. Second example, Boston Chinese Evangelical Church, currently pastored by Steve Chin. And he was an English associate pastor for like 25 years or so. And a couple years ago, he became the senior pastor of a typical multi-generational, multilingual Chinese church with Chinese and English ministry. And he's kind of a average communicator, but he had strength in leadership and strength in managing a team and some organizational things. And so he was able to leverage his experience, credibility, pastoral gift, as well as leadership gift, and not just lean into communication per se. And I think the church is, it's still got a strong reputation. It raises leaders that go on to seminary and start other churches. They're multi-site. And so that's a great example of someone who's an average communicator, but leading church very effectively in a multi-Asian context, multilingual as that as well. Third guy that came to mind is Bay Area Chinese Bible Church in the Oakland, California area. They also happen to be multi-site, so two locations, and they're a multi-site, multi-venue, multilingual, multi-generational, and moving towards multi-ethnic, I think. And their church is like 50 years old from a very traditional, fundamentalist, conservative kind of background, but about 9 years ago became more purpose-driven and outreach-oriented. And they also run a Christian school that is pretty good academically. So that was a winsome thing in the community. And he's got a Mandarin service, a contemporary Mandarin, Cantonese, a contemporary Cantonese, I think a youth service, an English service, traditional and contemporary. And yet he's been able to rally in the team and good communicator, but kind of on the average side. And yet the church is, I think if I remember right, over 1,000. So, but yet he's, he's able to build a team, be organized, and have enough of a vision to coordinate all of that activity. And so average communicators can still pull a team together. And I guess the other side of the communicating is not so much just or it's not a break or make deal if you have a strong communicator. There's other factors involved. So probably underneath of that is clarity of vision of some kind, so that people can understand how to be part of the team. People can understand how they can make a difference by being part of the vision. And whether that's done up front or in small group private meetings or staff meetings, probably needs to happen at all those levels, but it doesn't only have to happen in a big wow kind of way on a Sunday morning up front. So I hope that's a little freeing to kind of flesh it out and say, well, it's not like if you're not the all-star communicator, you can't do it. There's other gifts
Yeah,
at
no,
play.
that is such a great point, and hopefully freeing anyone who would listen to this up a little bit, because there are very few wow communicators. I think it is important for us to work hard at communicating. But I think what I'm taking away here today is it. What's most important is having a clear and compelling vision, which is pretty standard leadership principle, regardless of ethnicity or multi-ethnic or what or whatnot. I mean, would you it seems like what we've gotten in the last 2 weeks here, DJ, is there are some unique challenges culturally. That we're not getting to the solutions necessarily to those challenges, but at least drawing people to a deeper level of commitment through, you know, communicating a clear and compelling vision is going to be pretty standard across the board.
Yeah, because that's still your anchor. That's still your destination.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have that in place before you can tackle some of the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And part of tackling those challenges is that compelling vision. It's not everything, but that's kind of the biggest piece, right?
Yeah.
So if we can tackle that big piece, well, let's take care of that one first, and then we can talk about the unique challenges on the way.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic, DJ, and it's really encouraging just to be to stay focused on where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And there are elements, you know, there are certainly elements in the ministry where, you know, we're gonna have to trust the Lord. We feel the Lord drawing us into a certain ministry, and I feel like right now. Just a takeaway for me to encourage you is to really stay clear on what we feel the Lord leading us into in terms of vision, and for us and our current ministry for the foreseeable future is a real clear focus on the next generation, building our ministry programming out of a context that is geared to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is communicate that on many different levels, you know, whether it be to parents, to our leadership team, you know, preaching on a Sunday or met with youth last week or whatever. So this really, really encouraging and simple. And the examples that you gave, I don't know the other two, but I know Steve Chin or have met him, at least familiar with his ministry. I think he's a great example.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, so, the other pastor I mentioned in Oakland, his name is also Steve.
Oh, really?
Steve Quinn.
Great.
So maybe the secret is you got to be named Steve.
Steady Steve. Steady Steve.
They both are very steady. Yes.
That's great. That's great. Well, I look forward to following up more in the weeks to come, DJ. But the issue of vision is huge. It's a big part. You know, my research. It's a huge part, and maybe just more of a you know, in terms of measuring this, looking at the churches that are growing versus those that are not, just is the lead pastor or the senior leadership team casting a clear and compelling enough vision, you know, for the next generation or whatever.
So
I want to follow up with
there
that.
There you go. Good. Fantastic. Great to have this conversation. I'm glad the bandwidth held up for us.